Welcome to the Adjust Your Way to 100K podcast experience. Thanks for being here and listening to the show that gives you insight on a lucrative career in the insurance adjusting industry. Make sure you share this podcast with anyone looking to get into this lucrative career. Today, we have a special recording for you, but first, I've got to tell you about the best training in the industry, InsuranceAdjusterNow.com. Why do I say InsuranceAdjusterNow.com is the best? First of all, it starts with the educators. The educators really care about their students. They care about your career, they care about your maturation as an adjuster, and they care about your success. Look, getting money in your pocket is important to them just as much as it is important to you. And if you need the skills, if you're serious about your career as an insurance adjuster, I highly recommend you go to InsuranceAdjusterNow.com and tell them I sent you. Use my code SD100K to save on your insurance adjuster training. Now, let's get back to the show. The last adjuster. To be the last adjuster, Mr. Elite. Good morning, sir. You came in here, you hear? Why not? Hey, Clan. We're trying to be the last adjuster.
Who's the last adjuster? Who made it to that? Somebody made it?
Mr. Lorenzo, here's what he said, and I don't know if nobody caught it last week. But he says that he likes to be the last adjuster on the assignment. And to the naked ear, last adjuster, okay. But to me, I see something different. I hear something different.
You know what I hear?
What you hear?
Playing the game within the game.
I hear that a lot.
Playing the game within the game.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stay engaged when you're tired? How do you stay motivated when you're tired?
Yeah.
You have to play a game within a game. A lot of people talk about competition. You know?
Yeah. I'm
competitive.
Yeah.
Are you really? That's how,
this is some self-mastery.
Absolutely. That's how the greatest in any industry, that's how they keep that edge. They play a game within a game.
Well, that brings me to something then, Mr. Elite.
What's that?
I kind of broke down the word last. You know, I kind of broke it down. Because, man, you putting that competition part in there, that's completely true. And you do have to be competitive in these adjuster streets. A-Clan, you got to be competitive.
Yeah.
It's a competitive industry. The threshold is low. Can we talk about it? The threshold is low to get in this. You got to pass a test. One time. Get past it. Anybody can pass anything one time if they put their mind to it. One time. But how do you become the last adjuster? L in last, for last adjuster, is you got to be a leader in the field. You got to be a leader in the field. Did you know that, Dez? Did you know you were going to have to be a leader in the field? Here's what a lot of people think, Mr. Elite. They think, I'm going to come in and get this money, but nobody thinks about how that happens. Who you're going to have to be in order to make that happen. You want to be the last adjuster standing, you got to be a leader. Point blank, period. What does that mean? So, like, what if I'm not in management? You can be a leader wherever you stand. Manuel Medina.
Some people need them titles.
Mr. Mickey, give them to yourself. Play a game within the game. Play a game within the game. I'm the leader. If you want, go ahead and print out one of them name tags and put it on or something. If that's what you need, wear it under your shirt, maybe. I don't know. You are the leader. And, you know, it does not begin when you get there. I was reading this book, Mr. Elite. Oh, I'm glad we're talking about this. I don't know, Alice, is this too much for y'all this morning? It is only Thursday. Y'all might be ready for Friday. I don't know. Cammie.
is it a lot of us in this industry? It's a lot of owls in this industry, Cammy. I don't know if you know what an owl is. An owl is an outstanding winner and a legendary striver. It's a lot of us. It's a lot of us. And it's a lot of us over at the Insurance Adjuster Network. If you need some help, right, in this industry, if it were me, I'd go over to the Insurance Adjuster Network. Go to jointheen.com. But Lady Sierra, good morning. Good morning. When it comes to being a leader, right? I was reading this book and the author said that you know, people talk about, man, I can't wait to get into that role. And you know, he talked specifically about Eisenhower, President Eisenhower and his secretary, and how the secretary used to tell him, like, man, you know, if I were in your shoes, I'd do this. If I was in your shoes, I'd do that. And well, it just so happens that a cabinet seat came open in the White House while Eisenhower was in office with this secretary, right? The secretary told him, she said, hey, why don't you appoint my husband in that role? He has some really good ideas. And at first, Eisenhower thought she was joking. Clout chaser, good morning. But after looking in her eyes, he could tell that she was dead serious.
Yeah.
You can do it. You love my husband.
Yeah.
And he thought to himself, this is how people really think. They think that you could just wake up one day and walk in the seat and sit down and be the man for real. What happens when the problems are on your head and you can't move them on? You can't wake up and just, boom, one day, have that network, have that skill, have that ability to work in that position, even if somebody just puts you in it. So you don't just wake up one day and say, hey, I'm a leader just because now somebody gave me the title. No, you lead where you're at. You start leading and you develop your leadership and get better for it until you build up to that level to be at this mastery point.
Yeah.
You don't just wake up with it.
It's the manifestation.
My goodness. So if you're trying to be the last adjuster on the deployment, you got to be a leader. And being a leader starts before you even say, I'll take the deployment. A leader starts now when you're looking for a deployment. When we're coming upon the season, that means being responsible. Because if I'm a leader, I got to be responsible. Lydia, you hear me, Lydia? You got to be responsible. You got to take care of business. That's the person that's last on the deployment, Acorn.
Yeah.
Everybody wants the big bucks. You want to get to the end of the deployment, you have to be a leader. And being a leader doesn't start when you say, hey, I accept the deployment. It starts right now. Users, good morning. Fresh Banks, good morning. Mickey, good morning. We're live everywhere, y'all. Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, TikTok. We're talking about being the last person on a deployment. And we got about 8 minutes before Moneybag joins us. Who am I talking about when I say Moneybag? I'm talking about Mr. Lorenzo Jackson. Why am I talking about this? Because Mr. Lorenzo's been working 30 plus years in the industry, prides himself on being the last one on the deployment. That means he's a bona fide leader by default, YOLO, by default. If we're going by our definition, right? Then when you go over to the A, look, there's no way you're staying on the deployment if you are not accurate and thorough. No way happening. Can I tell you something, Aaron? Aaron, let me just tell you something real quick, like it's you and me. Ken, good morning. It's some people that try to cheat the game. Can y'all believe it? It's cheaters everywhere, Diz. It's some people that will try to cheat the game. They'll get into the deployment because, look, if you got the right storm going on and if you got the right license, you can get in. They got on. They got on a deployment, right? But they didn't know what they were doing. And instead of trying to learn, instead of asking for help, instead of seeking out mentorship or training, they tried to cheat the game. Instead they did some falsified work and put it into the system. It happens all the time. But guess what? Somebody's going to find out. Somebody's going to figure it out. It's going to get found out some way. Every claim you touch gets looked at, gets approved. So if you are not accurate and thorough, mishandling work will only last for so long. You won't be the last one there. It won't happen for you, Mario. But you wouldn't believe how many times I've seen it. You wouldn't believe how many people try to cheat the game. And it's not going to work for you. Darnell, good morning. We got about 5 minutes before Mr. Lorenzo Jackson joins us. Moneybag Zoe is what I call him. I got to think of another name for him. By the time hurricane season comes in here, maybe we call him the last adjuster. Do we call him the last adjuster? You say he wants to be the one there at the end. At the end of the deployment. Let's think about it. Let me call some more owls in. Share this with any owl that you know. We got 5 minutes. 5 minutes before Mr. Lorenzo joins us. Ooh. Let me get these owls in here. Look, I love the owls in here. Ooh. Ooh. Y'all so quiet. You fly silent. Head always on the swivel. Hey, Queen. Darnell, good morning. Ready for Mondays. Oh, man. Mr. Don't Let Your Mondays Come. Definitely that. Timba, good morning. Elizabeth, good morning. Low Lives Chatty, good morning. Nika, what are we talking about? Oh, man, we're talking about being the last adjuster. Melvin, good morning. So last week when we talked to Mr. Lorenzo, right? He dropped some game on us. I don't know if people caught it. Darnell, good morning. I don't know if people caught it. Because you see, for me, success leaves clues, but for adjusters, sometimes, man, adjusters are some interesting people. You know that? People of very few words, more action than anything. And when they say stuff, when they tell stories, that's really the meat and potatoes. Because some of this stuff, you can't necessarily write down or get a strategy for. You just got to know it when you see it. And understanding it when you see it is like there's a whole situation built into it. Because all of these claims are different. All of the time, we're getting different types of claims and things thrown at us. Different scenarios all the time. So when we talked to Mr. Lorenzo last week, he said something about being the last adjuster. And for me, that clicked some things in my brain because I know as the last adjuster, you got to do a few things. One, you got to be a leader in the field. That's number one. If you're not a leader, it's not going to work out for you. Because as an adjuster, things happen, Mika. Things happen all the time, and we have to adjust. You an adjuster, adjust. We hear that all the time. No matter what's going on, we talked to Lauren about this earlier in the week. It's like you can't default to somebody. You got to handle it. So you have to be a leader. Two, you have to be accurate and thorough. You are not going to last to the end of the deployment, handing in bad claims, doing work that's sloppy, not being accurate on your estimates, not being on time, not being courteous, not being in uniform. It's not going to work. Not going to work. Got to be accurate and thorough. I hope you're writing this down. If you're trying to be the last adjuster, I hope you're writing this down. I hope you're ready because we got Mr. Lorenzo coming on in 3 minutes. A claim. So you got to be a leader in the field. You got to be accurate and thorough. And you'll never believe this, Ty. Ty T, good morning. You have to be strategic in your approach. It's a strategy. Did you know that? Pastorsons, good morning. Did you know that? We got so many people coming in. Thank you for the likes. Like I said, I'm live on Facebook, YouTube, X, TikTok, Instagram. 1 minute, we have, man, 400K in 10 months. I'm telling you, you don't make 400K in 10 months if you're not a leader in the field, if you're not accurate and thorough. And I want to talk to Mr. Lorenzo this morning about this strategic approach I'm sure he has when he's out there working claims, because you got to be strategic if you're talking about making that type of money in that type of time. Ainsley, you're not just out there willy-nilly, right? This is important. We're trying to hit a mark. So if you could hit the likes, here he comes. Let's get ready for him, because I need to hear what the last justice standing has to say, A-Claim. Let's bring him in, Mr. Lorenzo Lee Jackson, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay with a thumbs up?
Man, everybody hit a thumbs up if you can hear Mr. Lorenzo. Let's see where the thumbs are this morning. Nathan, good morning. I can hear you. I can hear you now. Can everybody hear Mr. Lorenzo? I just want to make sure you're ready for this. Especially the owls, they claim. You see the lights? I see the lights going up. I think they can hear you, Mr. Lorenzo.
All right.
The last adjuster. You said that last week. I don't know if you remember that. Do you remember that conversation?
I do. I remember it. Yes. Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you get to the end past everybody?
Well, I think we have to back up just a little bit because I know that we have new people on here and I can't assume everybody understands what it means to be the last adjuster, what that means. And just a little background. And also I want to tell you guys a little something about me and kind of how I got started. And also there's going to be some really, really important information that I'm going to drop. Now I'm not going to give it all up. I'm not going to give it all up. I'm going to save some for the network people.
Okay, money bag. Okay.
Right. So I'm going to give people a little time to get their notepads because I'm about to drop some really, really, really good information.
Okay. Now, all right.
Now, a little bit of background about me, if you guys are just new on this, I've been adjusting claims I've been in the industry for 32 years or so, and started with State Farm. I worked for Farmers Insurance. I worked for Travelers Insurance. I worked for Liberty Mutual. So I've been involved with a lot of different insurance companies and spent a lot of time as a manager also for Liberty Mutual and I was a manager for desk adjusters. So I've done a lot of different things. I spent most of my time on the road on catastrophe duty traveling. And it is important for you guys to understand that when we are deployed and we're working, and this applies to desk and field, but I'm going to talk mainly about field adjusters. And when we're working, you are with maybe at any given time 200 to 300 adjusters in an area, in a location that we are handling these claims. And so to be the last is a heck of a statement to say, because that means that you've made several cuts along the way and the companies are keeping you because you're doing the work. And I'm going to talk about what that means by doing the work. Now, when we're working initially, we are paid per claim that we're looking at. And so when it gets down to what we call the cleanup crew, which is the last few adjusters that are working out of the 300 or 400 that started with at the same time, we get on what they call daily rate. And daily rate is a set amount of money that we make, $500, $600, $700 a day. And they're paying people what we call daily rate in order to stay there and clean up the mess that the other adjusters did. And so when you talk about being the last adjuster, you're talking about an assignment that can go on for a year or even 2 years or maybe even 3 years. I know some assignments have gone that long. And so that means that you're making consistent $400, $500, $600, $700 a day for the next 2 years. You do the math. It's a lot, whatever that is. And so strategically, you have to put yourself in a position and to being that last adjuster. And that's what it means. Okay. I heard you talking earlier about the acronym that you came up with and you. And the first one was the L. And what was that again for L?
Leader in the field. Leader. Right.
Leader. Mm-hmm. Leader in the field. And what you have to understand, too, is being a leader doesn't necessarily mean that you know everything. All right.
Say that again, Mr. Lorenzo. Repeat that for us.
Being a leader doesn't mean that you necessarily know everything.
Definitely.
All right. And so So what does it mean to be a leader in the field? So once again, I know we have a lot of new people on and we're talking. So I have to make sure that I'm not talking insurance lingo the whole time. But when we talk about a leader in the field, we're talking about adjusters that are working, at least for this. Now, once again, it could be an inside adjuster or it could be adjuster outside. It all kinds of fits. It all works the same way. But when you're a leader in the field, you're out physically looking at claims and you're amongst, you know, once again, 300, 400, 500 adjusters in a certain location. Mm-hmm. And at least the steps that I take is that I don't necessarily know everything. I have things that I need to learn. And but being a leader means that you are willing, offering, doing whatever you need to do, not just to handle your own claims, but to help others too. And to recognize when people are struggling and pull them aside and say, how can I help you? What can I do to help you? Now, once again, I don't know everything. And when you're coming in new, it's hard to be a leader because you are learning yourself. And so it is not realistic for you to be able to help everybody. But what it boils down to is managers want to see you as a team player. And being a team player means that you're just out there and you're willing to help any way that you can. And that's what being a leader is. And it has nothing to do with the knowledge that you have. It's the fact that you are a team member. You're about the teamwork. You talk about it out loud. How can I help you? And managers are seeing that in action. And it sets you apart from a lot of people because a lot of adjusters are all about themselves. They don't have time to talk to people, deal with nobody, none of their, you know, coworkers. And so when you are helpful and you're trying to be that teammate and you know, whether you playing the game or not, I don't know, but you want people to know that you are there to help. That's what you're there for.
Yeah, I mean, you got to play the game. You gotta, you know, there's a saying of one song, you know, you can't think for yourself. You got to think for the team. And thinking for the team is a part about thinking for yourself, because if the team goes down, everybody goes down. And absolutely. I think management definitely looks at that. Definitely, definitely, definitely. So we got through the leader, right?
Okay.
So and I kind of talk to people about this and I want to know your take. A is for accurate and thorough.
Okay. All right.
So how do you become accurate and thorough enough to last through a whole deployment?
Well, part of that is a process of messing up. That's the process. Mm-hmm. And you will never, ever, ever be perfect at this job. It reminds me, this job to me is like golf. it takes a lot of practice and you still would never perfect it. And even I have, as I work and when I do work, I still learn something new all the time. And I take a little bit from everybody and try to put it into what I do as far as my work ethic and the process. Now, if you're trying to be perfect, you can forget it. Okay. It's frustrating. You'll never get there. Yeah. But what is important is when you make mistakes, whatever that mistake may be, I'll give you the way I do it. I have a notebook, a physical notebook for all you new school people, paper pen, that kind of notebook. Okay.
No notes in your phone.
Notebook.
No notes in your phone. Okay.
No. I write it down. I write it down. Okay. And any mistake that I make, I write it down so the next time I won't make that same mistake. And so when we're talking about being accurate, really what we're just saying is that being able to correct all mistakes. Now, you won't correct them all. You won't be perfect. And because in the process of what ends up happening is that as managers review your work, they leave too. There are managers that are not there the whole time. And so there is a time where you can have several managers in an assignment. And what I do is I write down the mistakes that I make, the things that managers tell me I should have done better, whatever it is, write it down, and I don't duplicate it. Okay. And then when I have I have my next manager, the same thing. They're going to tell me certain things. Once again, write it down so I don't duplicate it. And that's what it means to be accurate. If you're a perfectionist and you're going to be stuck on that, the way I learned, and we've heard this many different ways, but the way that I've learned, the only good claim is a closed claim. Simple. And so my job is to close claims. And if I'm trying to be perfect in closing the claim, I'll never close the claim. That means I never get paid. That means that my closing rate is going to be really low, my percentages, and they're going to send me home. And so I tell people, don't get caught up in that. Make the mistake. It's okay. Make the mistakes. Just make sure that you don't duplicate them. That's all.
Well, you know, Mr. Lorenzo, I first of all, I don't know what perfect is when it comes to claims. We have so many diverse situations, but I got to clear the energy real quick because I can already see an issue.
Okay.
For some people.
Okay.
Here's where the issue comes in at, and I've seen it I don't know how many times. When you correct some people, they take it extremely personal,
okay,
and they begin to argue, they begin to give excuses instead of just simply thanking the giver of the criticism and going on with it.
Okay.
How do you, I mean, because as a manager, can you even coach that? Can you even talk to people about that? Like, have you had that situation?
No. Okay. And it's real simple. They get replaced. I mean, this is a business. I have the manager's hat on right now. But
please,
as a manager, I don't have time to babysit you. I don't have time to train you. I don't have time to babysit you. And you know, me as Lorenzo as a person, sure, I'll talk to you about it once. And if you don't correct it, then not a problem. Next person, we remove you. Okay. I mean, it's in our business, it's that we're grown ass people.
So I want you to tell the truth. We gotta hear the truth. Yeah, we gotta know the truth. Because I see bad attitudes get people out of these positions quicker than anything else. Christian says, I hope to God Mr. Lorenzo ends up being a manager on a deployment I'm on. I don't know, Chris. I don't know.
I don't know. That's a whole other topic if I have to do that. But that's another topic.
Man. Mr. Lorenzo, the level of accuracy and thoroughness that I think the seasoned adjusters require, it's through what you've gone through the training that you did, and then how things may have been complex at one time, maybe easier now, but you still have that muscle memory about it, and you require a lot. So I found that when I'm around adjusters that have been doing it a lot longer than me, they just have particular ways, and I listen to their ways.
Right.
I listen. It's for a reason. But some people do not have that ability to listen. And like you said, Mr. Lorenzo, you're not the only one that thinks it. You'll be replaced. That'll be the end.
Yeah.
Not saying that you can't differ, because we all differ.
Right? Yeah. It goes back to what we always say. We have to be honest with people. This is not a game. And we get paid a lot of money to be professional, to take care of the business. Mm-hmm. And if you are not able to take advice from people that have either control your paycheck, which means that they control how long you stay there, or people that are really just generally trying to help you, okay? Because once again, experienced adjusters, managers don't have to be that way. And so if you have someone that's that way, then I would say pay attention to that. This is the stuff that we talk about. We're having casual conversation right now about it. And some lessons are taught and some lessons are bought. All right. So we're trying to keep you from having to buy the lessons. And so
because they're expensive.
Yeah, they're very expensive. And so anybody that controls my money like that, I'm going to do the best that I can to make sure that I get the information that I need in order to be successful to feed my family. It's real, real, really simple like that.
Real simple to me, not calculus to me, but you wouldn't believe the people that get tripped up on this. So I had a deployment once, Mr. Lorenzo. The manager, the team leader that was ahead of my team, she was very rude and abrupt. From the very beginning, she was that way. Guess who didn't care? I don't know what it was. I just could not even try to pay it any attention.
Right.
And when people would come to me with it, like, yeah, you know, Leslie, that's not her name. I'm hiding it. Leslie, you know, she had attitude this morning. I was like, girl, look, we're working 7-12s. Everybody's got a damn attitude.
Yes.
Everybody's tired. We've been doing this for 6 months back to back. Nobody's in the greatest mood. So I don't take it personal. No. And I just say thank you and I keep going. That's helped me and served me well.
Exactly.
100%. So, Mr. Lorenzo, we got leader in the field, accurate and thorough. And it's a lot of asterisks on accurate and thorough. I like that. But now it brings us to the S. Strategic in your approach.
All right.
Talk to us about strategy.
Okay. You got to be... Here you go. Here's where the note taking comes in.
Okay.
For you guys. All right.
I got my notepad. I ain't making fun of you. I got one too.
Okay. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Old school.
All right. All right.
Now you got to be very intentional. All right. So I'm going to just rattle off some things, have a conversation about it. When you are in the monks, now let me back you up now. When I work Katrina, they had us in a
118. That's how many tornadoes toured through the Midwest last week. In 2 days, there were 118 unconfirmed tornadoes. And what I think of when I hear that number is I think of the thousands of claims. I think about the homes, the schools, the hospitals, the businesses that will be impacted by these storms. I think about the properties. I think about the residences. I think about the vehicles that were damaged. And I think about how we're less than 30 days away from hurricane season. This happens every year, time after time, and every time adjusters are brought in to bring justice, to bring peace, to restore order in whatever way you can when you're dealing with Mother Nature. The only way we can do that is per the policy. And knowing the policy and knowing how to do our job is best to be learned before the catastrophe happens. That's why I'm so grateful for the institution of Insurance Adjuster Now. The trainers and educators there care about this industry. They care about the careers of their students. And after you seek your training there at Insurance Adjuster Now, there's a network of adjusters that can help you continue on your career path. Because look, training is not the end when it comes to being an adjuster. It's only the beginning. Go to insuranceadjusternow.com and let them know I sent you. Use code SD100K to save on your training. Don't go later. Make it happen now. InsuranceAdjusterNow.com.
A Kmart, old school Kmart building that was gutted out for State Farm. And so we had over 1,000 adjusters there working. That's where we started. My first day of reporting for Katrina, we had 1,000 people.
Wow.
A little over 1,000 adjusters. That building was packed with adjusters. And so I looked around and I saw 1,000 people there. And I knew that the money that we were making there, I wanted to be one of the last ones standing. Okay. I knew that already. That's, as a matter of fact, on most assignments, that is my mindset, is what do I need to do to be the last person? And that's what we're talking about. Yeah. When I left Katrina, we had a building of 1,000 adjusters. When I left Katrina, I made it down to the 15th person. Okay. It ended up being 15 of us. It used to be 500 tables there that we worked on, meaning big desks where adjusters hung out, and it got down to like two tables. And so we almost had the whole Kmart building to ourselves. Wow. Now, this is what it takes. All right. Now, playing the game, understanding how a manager works. So you need to get in the head of a manager. Last week, we talked about talking to the manager, introducing yourself, and then starting off by saying, what could I do to make your job easier? And so we talked about that briefly with that.
Gang.
All right. Yes. So once off the bat, right off the bat, you're setting yourself different from anybody else off the top, because ain't nobody going to do that. Okay. And so that is one of the first things that you do. Now, no in particular order, I'm just throwing stuff off the top of my head, no particular order. But when I would be working at night, and because adjusters are in their hotel rooms or wherever, and they're working late nights, we're spending a lot of time, especially in the very beginning of a assignment, the first month or so, we're putting in some hours like crazy until you kind of get a rhythm going. What I would do at about 2 o'clock in the morning, because I'll be up working probably, and I would blast an email to my manager, okay? Even though I knew the answer to the question, okay? I would blast an email at 2 o'clock in the morning to my manager. Uh-huh. Now, what that does is that manager probably is not up like that, but they hear the ding, they look at it next morning when they get up, and they're thinking to themselves, oh my God, Lorenzo is up working. He is on top of things. He is putting the time in. We all know in the first 30 days or 45 days of it, all of us are working. We're all putting in time. So it's not uncommon that you would be working that late. But to shoot an email out there. Now, mind you, I could have been done at 12 midnight or 11. But I'll set my clock, my timer to wake me up at 2 in the morning, shoot out an email, even though I know the answer, go right back to sleep. Okay? I just need them to think that I am putting in that kind of time.
Oh, that's some game. Hold on. I don't think, Miss, hold on. I got to love it. It's got to be one that ain't heard of this. It's got to be, I know it was a couple of them out
here. A couple? What? Just a couple, huh?
I hope they wrote that down, Mr. Lorenzo.
Okay. Yeah, that's setting yourself apart from a lot of people right there.
That's you're gonna be the last adjuster, all right. Yeah. You do that. Yeah. Sure. That's David, Dave, Jen, D Reed, Al's.
Right.
Woo. I hope they got it, Mr. Lorenzo. I hope they Man, the contract killer's in here. Tammy. I can't sit still. You see, I got the robe on now because I forgot.
It's serious now. It's serious.
He's preaching. I had to get in the tire. Excuse me. I was unprepared. I didn't know what we was about to get into, David. I had no clue. That's some game. A claim. I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay. All right.
That's some strategy for you, Mr. Lorenzo. That's strategy.
Okay.
We're talking about being the last adjuster. That's it. That's a strategy. Okay. Definitely. So what reactions did you start getting from your management from doing that?
Well, once again, they knew that I was putting the time in. They knew that I was, you know, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to blast out emails, you know, once again, asking for help. Now, the trick to it also is that you, to piggyback on it, you also have to ask a question that you already know the answer to. And this is the reason why. One of the things that I learned as a new adjuster is when you come in and talk to a manager, you don't go in there asking them what they will do. You go in them explaining what you will do and allow them to correct you. Okay? So that means you've actually thought about it. And if it's wrong, they'll correct you. So I would send out an email with a question and the answer to it, and then allow them to correct me. I already knew the correct answer to it probably, but it goes to show them is that I'm just not asking for them to settle my claims or to help me in a way that I'm not thinking about it, trying to think it through.
Yeah, you don't want them to do the job for you.
No, I've thought it through, and that's a lesson.
They love that.
When you go in with a question, you will then give them the answer that you think is correct, and it's okay, and then let them correct you if they need to. That's okay. And because as an adjuster, excuse me, back you up, as a manager, when I would work with Liberty Mutual, adjusters would come into my office and they would ask me questions. And it's funny, I do this with my kids too, is I say, what do you think? And if you don't know, get back to me. So I'll, as my daughter would say, a problem solver. I allow them to go through the process of it. And so that's what they want from us.
Wow. They, man, this is how it's done. This is how it's done. You know, when I see, I guess you could call them, you know, they call them seasoned adjusters. I might start calling adjusters like this, like a master adjuster, because you know how to play the game.
Yes.
And like Mr. Elite said, a game within a game.
I get it,
Ms. Lorenzo. I'm with you. I'm with you. Okay, so let's bring it on home then. Because you've shown that you're a leader. You've come up, you know, you talked about this last week, some things that you do. First day, you're coming up, introducing yourself. It's a lot of people that, hey, they don't even want to see the manager. They want the manager to even know they're alive.
Right.
You're a leader in the field. You're accurate and thorough. You just gave us a wild strategy. I hope everybody picked it up. Lastly, you're trustworthy and reliable. How can you help hold this track record for reliability over 10 plus months when everybody's dropping like flies? Like what's the difference between the last adjuster and the adjusters that get let go?
When you first start, there is a process. When we receive insurance claims, so for all you new people, when we get our assignments, the company wants us to contact. That means call people, introduce yourself, start setting appointments. So contact. The next part of that is inspection. That's the next part. And the last part is close. And so when we first get our assignments, the only thing that companies are concerned about is that we make our contacts, and they will shoot out emails to you all the time. Make sure you call people, make sure you contact people. The second part of that is after you contact people, make sure you inspect. So they start pushing that. Mm-hmm. And then after you inspect, you close. Okay. So that's the process. That's what happens. And so when we get reports that come out as adjusters, we get reports on who's on top of the contact list. So that means that Joe Michael is leading the pack of contacts. And then we get inspection reports, and then we get closing reports. Now, when I see those reports, I'm thinking is that I want to make sure that I'm at the top of the list. So that means that you have to have a process. That's what like Lauren teaches when she's doing her boot camp class, is that process. Okay.
Yeah.
And so we learn how to stay on top of every different part of that. So contact, inspection, close. You learn how to stay on top of everyone, so you're on top of that list. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, when we talk about the trustworthy part of it, is that the trustworthy portion of it is the managers are expecting you to handle those things, those steps that we're taking. Contact, inspect, close. Yeah. And when you're on top of that list and you're showing that you can do that job, you're showing that you're on top of the list on the charts of adjusters all the time. Mm-hmm. What happens with that is managers start to trust you as an adjuster, which means that they will start giving you projects. They will start, you know, when there's as we call it, a hot claim. Okay. So a hot claim means that a policyholder is upset and they're mad at their first adjuster, and they hollering at your manager, and then your manager doesn't want to deal with it. So they give it to an adjuster that can handle it. You want to be that person.
You got to trust that person.
And you have to trust that person. Yes. Yeah. So they have to trust you. And so you're working on that trust. Now, another part of that trust too, this is the part that people forget about. It is not always about your manager. Your manager is very important because that's who, you know, controls your money. But yeah. I tell you who's even more important is is the agents.
Yes.
And so when I go out to a location to work, I know not only do, of course, the houses I'm going to see or the, you know, the claims that I might have, but I find out all the agents in that area. And I go in and I introduce myself to the agents, let them know who I am, and let them know if they're having any problems, they have my direct number. So they don't even have to call my manager anymore. I've eliminated my manager out the game. And that agent will call me directly and I can handle the claim before it gets to my manager, before it becomes a hot claim.
Yep.
And so a lot of people don't, lot of us adjusters don't know that we can go in and talk to the agents. And if you get really cool with it, and I've said this a while ago with somebody, if you get really cool with it, I had agents that would allow me to come into their office to work.
Oh.
And so in between inspections, if I had extra time, instead of going to my hotel, instead of going in my car to work, I would go to this agent's office and they had a desk in the office there for me. And they even had food and drinks and everything. It was all good. And that created something that created that relationship. They trusted me. So when they had a policyholder that was upset or needed an inspection immediately, then they would call me directly.
Yeah.
So that sets you off from a lot of different adjusters don't do that. They don't even know about it. And piggybacking on it really quick too is another thing that I found when I worked in Beaumont, and I found that I had a certain territory area, and that area of homes, they had a Facebook page and they had Nextdoor. So if y'all don't know about Nextdoor, you might want to get familiar with Nextdoor. I think that's what it's called. But yeah, Nextdoor.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so I would join into those groups. I would get into those groups. And so when the policyholders had questions, they would just Facebook me immediately. I'm eliminating telephone calls, and they had direct contact with me like that. Now, when I left Beaumont, of course, I'm out of it. They don't, you know, I don't exist in any of those groups anymore. But it allowed them to know who their adjuster was. And in there, now, the tough thing about it, though, you got to do a good job. Because if you don't do a good job, they talk about you all through that Facebook page. So you got to do the best you can now.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about it is when they were putting in good things about Lorenzo was doing a good job, I hope he's your adjuster. Now they're talking as a community. I hope he's your adjuster because he's doing a great job. We really like, you know, the whole bit.
Mm-hmm.
I show my manager in those Facebook chats what they were saying about me. And so once again, that trustworthy part, setting yourself apart from all the other adjusters. My manager was seeing all this stuff and he was showing his manager. And so it allowed me to stay longer than a lot of people just because they knew I was taking care of it. I mean, these are some real simple, small things that huge. They are huge because adjusters are, like you said, hiding from the managers. Don't know who you are, the whole bit.
Yeah.
And while I'm on it really quick, I know I don't want to go too long. I can talk about it forever, but. It is also important not to spend a lot of time in the office because the logic behind that is if you're spending all the time in the office, that means you're not inspecting claims. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so for field adjusters, I would come in probably twice a week. They would see me. They need to see that I look tired, even though I would probably had just woke up.
Yeah.
I'm in the office. I'm always looking like I'm in a rush. I always make sure that I go in and speak to my manager so they know who Lorenzo is, but I'm out of there. I'm busy. I'm working. I ain't got time to be sitting here chatting with everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it goes back to playing the game.
Yes.
Okay? Whatever that means. So I got a list of things I could talk about, but I'll save that for some of our network members because I do want to talk about that with them.
Well, if you don't know what the network is, we're talking about the IN Network, the Insurance Adjuster Network. go to jointheen.com and make sure you're there and subscribe when Mr. Lorenzo drops these gems, these gold bars. You know, gold is about, what is it, about 2,000 an ounce right now, Mr. Lorenzo? you dropped a lot of it just now, man. I don't even know what to say. I wanted you to tell us how to be the last adjuster standing, and you did that, and I'm at a loss for words. I hope everybody got it.
Yes.
I hope everybody picked that up. How long did it take you to craft that that model? Like, this is years worth of work, right?
Once again, that's a process. And also, I mean, some of this, I learned from other adjusters too. We learn from each other.
Yeah.
And I'm always open to that. I don't know everything. And so I have learned a lot of these different things. Some, yes, I've trial and error, of course. But I've watched other adjusters and what they do. And I just kind of picked it up, and there's a lot of different things that we can do to kind of set yourself apart, because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to set yourself apart in a good sense. Not bad, but in a good sense. And trust me, managers will remember you, companies will remember you. And you get to a point where you don't even go through a deployment process with some of these adjusting firms. They'll just start calling you directly.
Yeah.
And managers will request you. And that's where you want to get to.
That's the sweet spot. That's the spot I think where everybody's striving for. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you, Moneybag, dropping the game this morning, because that's really how to get it done. And I love that when you take any of our classes at Insurance Adjuster Now, that game doesn't get gatekeeped.
No.
We drop those type of gems, those gold bars, all of those things throughout the training, all of the days that we're together. So tomorrow is another class for you, sir. Any thoughts about class tomorrow as we depart for today?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I forgot. Yeah, I'm teaching tomorrow. only what I mean, you said it. This is information that we put out there all the time, and we have these conversations all the time, mm-hmm. and with our students and in class, and especially when you're in the licensed class, I open up a lot more. I try to tell more stories, try things that can help adjusters, and that's what it's about. It's about sharing the information with each other and getting the correct information. We all know when you go on Facebook and you see some of those groups, a lot of that information is negative, it's wrong.
Wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong. They want to set you up to fail anyway. And that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to teach you how to take this job, this career seriously. And to stand out, because our name and our company is on it too. And so when we're doing the training, I want people to know where you got your training from. So that's why it means a lot. And we take it very seriously.
Yeah. And, you know, I knew it was serious when I found out about the EN guarantee, you know, with the Xactimate and with Desk. If you need a refresher down the road, you can come back at any time without an additional charge. Like, there's nobody in this industry doing that, Mr. Lorenzo. I haven't heard about it, at least.
That is correct.
That says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, says a lot. Well, we appreciate you, sir. We're going to see you this weekend for the new adjusters that are going to come through the house. We got a question here. Ms. J asked, is it possible to get your opinion on the FTC banning non-compete clauses for all workers and how that may impact insurance adjusters? I'm hearing companies are starting to take IA roles back. I've got an opinion on that, Mr. Lorenzo. Do you have one?
No, that's a lot for me this morning. I have to think about it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I did a video about it, Ms. J. So here's the situation. I've told people about this because sometimes you want to be a staffer and go independent. So some staffers don't, or you don't find it out till you leave or try to leave, is that the firms and the carriers may have a situation, a compete, non-compete situation in place where they tell the firms that you cannot take any of our staff adjusters that have been departed for less than 90 days. So people are wondering, is this FTC thing going to kind of dissolve that situation? And I don't think so. Maybe if the non-compete clause was something that the staffer signed with the firm or with the carrier, maybe. But this is from business to business. This is from the carrier to the IA firm, a personal agreement that they have. I don't think it's going to change anything. That's my thought. I don't know, but we'll see. But that's my thing.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you this weekend, sir.
Okay, no other questions out there for me to answer?
Well, let me see. Cammy had a question. Somebody asked, does Zoe have an IG? Miss Lorenzo, what's the place where you prefer people to follow you?
I should know this by heart, right? Now at this point. I don't know. Hit your boy up on Facebook for right now. On our insurance adjuster now Facebook page, or you can find me at Lorenzo Lee Jackson. Hit me up there first, and then I can give you all the other stuff. But
okay.
Yeah, I kind of know that off the top of my head.
Fair enough. Okay, fair enough. Okay. Hopefully they got that. So Cammy says, and I've got an answer to this, but you let me know your answer, Mr. Lorenzo.
Okay.
Cammy says, what kind of research can you recommend I do to see if this career will be a good fit for me?
Oh, interesting. What kind of research?
It's hard to do research on something that's kind of gatekeep. Like, well,
yeah, it's hard. I would just off the top of my head, only because I would say don't do the research through Facebook. Okay, so that part of it. So
at least not we're not to do it. Okay, I got you. Yeah,
don't do it there. Okay. But the only thing that I can think of right now is because we have so many people involved in it is when you join the EN, when you join the network. I know for sure that there is a lot of good information out there in our network that will kind of guide you. And that's the best research. I mean, you have access to, you know, not only us, but a whole lot of other people that are in the business and moving towards it. So that's what I would think right now.
You know, the network for sure, because when you're in the network, you're dealing with adjusters that are doing this, and they're doing it at a high level, like some of the tips that you gave. But in my book, Adjust Your Way to 100K, I tell a lot of stories about what it took for me to be successful as an adjuster, to put people in the mindset of what they're going to have to do, some things that they may see. Your road might be simpler than mine, but at least you will see the methodology, because I just give a lot of information on what it looks like to be an adjuster. Maybe that'll benefit you. To get my book, go to 100kadjuster.com. But I agree with you, Mr. Lorenzo. The Insurance Adjuster Network is a great place to do that. You got to go to join the EN to subscribe and be a part of the network.
Yeah. That's the best I got for that one.
Yeah, me too. I think that's hey, that's better than what was there when we started. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't have that option. I didn't have it. Man, thank you for dropping those gems on us. It's going to get written down and memorialized because that was some true game you gave, how to be the last adjuster. We appreciate you, sir.
All right. Well, I will talk to you guys later, and I'll see you next week, right?
Yeah. See you next Thursday. All right. See you later, Mr. Lorenzo.
All right,
bye-bye. Man, y'all, hit the likes for money back. He said some stuff, y'all. I hope people wrote it down. Katie, I hope that was some game. Latova, I hope y'all got some notes. I hope y'all took some notes. That was some game. That was some game. That was some game. Game on game. That was some Uno, Monopoly, sorry, ladders and shoots and ladders. That was some game. How to be the last adjuster on the assignment. Man, we appreciate you, Money Back, for even explaining what that means to be the last adjuster, because it's a feat within itself, to be honest. So let's go back over our acronym before we leave, y'all. Last means you gotta be a leader. You gotta be a leader as an adjuster. And I know you're like, well, man, I'll be a leader when I get there. No, you need to start being a leader now. You become a leader when you get that license. You gotta be a leader, step up and be accountable. You gotta be accurate and thorough. You can't be an adjuster out here doing bad work. Your name, your reputation will follow you, and think about it. You have insured, you have businesses, you have the carriers, their business in your hands. Thank you for the likes. You gotta be accurate and thorough. Then you gotta be strategic in approach. You heard what Mr. Lorenzo said. He gave us some game. He said, I would set my alarm to wake up at 2 a.m., because adjusters, when you're up working on estimates, you might be up to the wee hours of the morning. That's what they do out there in the field. A-Clan, he said he would set his alarm, even if he had finished already, set his alarm 2 a.m. to email his manager. He has reasons behind that. He would email not just a question that he didn't know the answer to. He's going to approach it like, hey, here's what's going on. This is what I think should be done. What do you think? At 2 a.m. to show his manager, hey, I'm solving problems and I'm outworking everybody. That's game. That's strategic. When I say strategic in approach, that's what I mean. And then T, you got to be trustworthy. You got to be trustworthy to be the last adjuster on the assignment. I need somebody I can hand off work to, because we got some things that are going on now. Now it's a different cycle in the deployment. This deployment goes through cycles. When you first start out, like he says, it's a rush to contact people. Then it's a rush to get the inspections done. It's the same at the desk. There's rushes, right? But when we get to the end, we're putting out fires. We're fixing things. We're working on, like Mr. Lorenzo said, hot claims. I need to be able to trust you to do that. If you can't come on time, if you can't do the work right, if you're not trained, if you don't have a good attitude, if you can't show empathy, I can't trust you. I can't rely on you when the time comes. You're not going to be the last one there. Look, if you're finding me for the first time, I know we got a lot of new people on here. If you're new to this industry and you're trying to figure out how to become successful, how to make the money, you're going to have to figure out how to last. And if you don't know what that means, I encourage you to get over to insuranceadjusternow.com. Insuranceadjusternow.com. So you can get the training, so you can get the mentorship, so you can get the holistic approach to understand what it is that we do as adjusters, and how to last when you actually finally get the opportunity. What to even do to be available for the opportunity. Now, besides the courses that we offer, we have the Insurance Adjuster Network, a whole support group for adjusters. It's subscription-based. Man, can I tell y'all the truth? I dreamed of something like the network. I remember talking to my deployment friends about it, like, man, y'all, I wish it was somewhere we could go to get help on our claims, because that was my chief problem as an adjuster being deployed. I needed help and I had nowhere to go to get help. And I asked and I wished that there was something like the network, and now it's here. The Insurance Adjuster Network, available at jointheen.com. If you need a strategy, a blueprint, a manifesto, a guide, you're trying to get in this industry, you don't know what you're doing, trust me, you're not alone. But hurricane season is less than 30 days away. It's time to get on it. We got things to do. If you need some help in your strategy, if you need some help in your blueprint, go get my book. It's available at 100kadjuster.com, 100kadjuster.com. I will holler at y'all later. Have a great, awesome.
Thanks for listening. When you're ready to set your career on the right path, make sure to go to 100kadjuster.com. Get the strategy and the blueprint that will put you on the right path to career success. Subscribe and share this podcast with anyone you know looking to get into a lucrative career. We'll talk to you next time on The Next Experience.